Well, good evening, everyone. Brother Mike is not going to be here tonight. He called me a little while ago and said, asked me if I would do the class tonight. And I told him, thanks for the advance warning. So anyway, he's having some more eye surgery on tomorrow, and they started the meds on him today. So his eye is all out of whack right now. So we'll do the class tonight, and we'll keep everybody in prayer. I've got quite a prayer list for the announcements a little bit later. Okay, we'll start off with a word of prayer. Okay, let us pray. Father in heaven, we're truly thankful unto thee for this day and for the blessings of life. We pray, Father, that your blessings will be upon all who are here, and upon all those who have called in on the conference call, to bless them in a special way. Be with us, Father, in this study tonight. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right. So he told me we stopped on page 11. Is that right? Actually, it's the last paragraph on page 11. So we'll just do that entire paragraph. Okay. All right. To give heed is to pay close attention, and to be earnest is to be serious about our accountability. We should give serious attention to the things we have learned because, as the Hebrew writer says, we can let them slip. The marginal reading in some Bibles adds, run out as leaking vessels. Leaking vessels do not sink suddenly, but so slowly that those aboard may not even know about the problem until it has grown beyond control. In like manner, God's people can gradually let the things which they have heard slip out of their hearts, and before they realize it, their ship has drifted into the main current of the world. Peter mentioned some who had forgotten that they were purged from their old sins, meaning they had been cleansed of their old sin. Okay. 2 Peter 1:9. They had allowed a terrible slip to take place. It's a slip, we called it Sunday, a backslide, right? There are a lot of words for it when you go the wrong way, when you go backwards. Okay. There are many warnings couched in the words, take heed, in the New Testament. A brief review of those warnings should be profitable. So we're going to look at some of the, we're going to review some of those warnings, things we should be looking out for before we slip. All right. Take heed. We're now on page 12. Take heed that ye do not become desirous of putting on a show. In Matthew 6:1 are the words of Jesus. It says, take heed that ye do not your alms before men to be seen of men, right? Meaning, be careful. Don't be trying to show out. It's another word we use, all right? So we got to keep it in mind, we're not doing this to be seen of men. Otherwise, ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. In this chapter, he mentioned giving, praying, and fasting, and pointed out that all of these are in vain if their purpose is to be seen of men. In Matthew 23, Jesus again attacked the hypocrites for their determination to make themselves conspicuous by their efforts to attract attention. We talked about that once before, those things they would slap on their forehead with the scriptures in them so everybody knew that they were religious, and they were called phylactery, right? Carry scriptures around actually fastened to their forehead. I guess people would notice you then. They would figure you either religious or something else was going on. Okay, Matthew 23, Jesus again attacked the hypocrites. Well, I read that. There is a right way to get attention without making it your purpose. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, Jesus said, Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Notice that Jesus said, let your light shine, not shine your light. I like that. All right, so in other words, what we're doing is not to be seen. We're not trying to get attention. We're not trying to show off. We're just doing what we are supposed to do, and we're trying to glorify. If we do what we're supposed to do, we'll glorify God. Correct? Yeah. All right. Number two, that we not lose the concept of what constitutes real life. Life is more than pleasures. It is more than material wealth, and what wealth may bring. Jesus talked about a man who did not know this truth. He prefaced the parable by saying, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. That's Luke 12:15. That man made great plans to increase his wealth, though it was already sufficient. He mentioned nobody but himself, and he counted too much on many years, none of which he had, because he died that very night. That's something to keep in mind. A lot of people do that like they're going to be here forever. And most of the time, a lot of time, that's just not the case. God called him a fool, right? But let us not miss the lesson intended, found in verse 21. So is he that layeth up treasure for himself, and is not rich toward God. Right. So everything we're doing here, bottom line, we're trying to glorify God. We're doing it for God's praise. And when people compliment you on something, don't take the credit if you can. Just say, praise God. Right? It's him. Because if it weren't for him, we wouldn't even be able to do it. All right, any questions? All right. Number three, that we watch ourselves in what we believe and teach. 1 Timothy 4:16 is Paul's charge to Timothy. He says, take heed unto thyself, right, and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. All right. Notice the order in which the charge is arranged. First, watch thyself, then the doctrine. A lot of these letters that Paul wrote, they weren't talking to a church. He was writing these letters to a preacher. Timothy was a preacher, and he had to be, and everybody has, at one time or another, has to be corrected if you're not doing things correctly. All right. We should be doers before we become teachers. In Acts 1:1, we learn that Jesus began both to do and to teach. It is not sufficient that the do comes before the teach. We've already studied about the hypocrites whom Jesus condemned. One of the things listed was, they say and do not, Matthew 23:3. The saying without the doing is meaningless. and repulsive. The teacher must practice what he preaches, as the following scripture shows. You know that old saying, when it's all said and done, usually more said than done. And that's the truth, right? It's easy to say you're going to do something, talk about things being done, but when it actually comes time to do it, a lot of people just don't step up. All right, any questions on that one? All right, A. James 1:22. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. We just said that, right? All right, B. 1 Timothy 4:12. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word and conversation, in charity and spirit, in faith and purity. That is a good saying. That's something we should all keep in mind. Got to be an example. We know as you all are becoming older, you have to realize that the young people are watching. A lot of people watching, young and old. And so we got to make sure that things we're doing are correct. Okay, Tammy? More talk. Ah, yes, good saying. Where'd you hear that? Oh, okay. That's true. It's a good, lot of good saying, things that catch your ear so you can keep them in mind. It can help you. Yeah, so that's what we have to do as we go down this road. And we got to inspire one another. We're trying to do that as we go through here. All right. Number C, Philippians 4:9. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Right. This is a good example for us to keep in mind when we're dealing with the young people. Unfortunately, we don't have a whole lot of young people here, but what the ones we do have, we have to be careful about our example. Number four, that we let no one deceive us. We read in Matthew 24 that Jesus warned his disciples about troublous times that were ahead. He said, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. That's verse 4 and 5. He went on to mention other disturbing events that would take place. It takes a wide awake person to avoid being deceived. You know, that's on the news almost every day now. They call it deceived. We call it scams, right? Same thing, bottom line. But it says here, it takes a wide awake person to avoid being deceived. Because almost every day I'm knowing of somebody personally who got tricked, deceived, scams. Scams are out there now as they always have been. So we got to be careful. We got to stay wide awake. But it can be done by following two other warnings of Jesus. One found in Luke 8:18, which says, take heed therefore how ye hear, and the other in Mark 4:24, which says, take heed what ye hear. See, regardless of what the subject is, if we will apply these two warnings, we should not be easily deceived. You got to take heed. You got to be careful. In our day and age, you got to don't click on everything. That's what we would say nowadays, because you can click on some of these things on the internet, and you're in trouble. You got to really be watching, because it could be one word spelled differently, one word off, and they got you. So know people who have done that, fallen in that. All right, any questions? Anybody here been scammed? You? Oh, all right, but you recovered, correct? You didn't recover. Yeah, I'm trying to avoid it. That's true, because people, you know, I always thought if the people who are working out there trying to come up with plans to deceive people, if they put that energy to a positive use, we may have discovered cure for cancer or something by now, you know, but those people, those scammers are busy coming up with stuff. No? Huh? Yeah, that's true. They're trying to get something for nothing, right? Okay. Oh. Wow. Got to him. Well, I'm good that you were on the case and realized it before you, you know, got lost in the money or anything. Way to go, Ann. Well, that's what we got to do. Right. Well, you got to him. Hopefully it worked. But until the next one. You know. Hopefully it did, but that's what we got to deal with now, and that's what's out there, and just got to be ready and try not to let people take advantage of you, because sometimes, I mean, once you get scammed, it can lead to a lot of other problems. All right. Right. It's true. Right. Yep, snail mail, right, it still get you. Yeah. True. It is true. Scams don't always have to involve money, right? It can be trying to take it, involve you getting your soul, right? Taking you away from what you know is true. There's so many things going on out there, and so many untruths that people are believing, and that's the sad part about it. So we just got to stay on guard.
If you're in a situation where you feel like you can't get out of it, you're fairly, you're in a situation where you're vulnerable to scams. People can prey on how you think, how you spend, how you relate to people. The more desperate you are, the more susceptible you are to being deceived.
It's true. And like Sharon said, too, the older you get, well, the more they come after you, you know? Uh-huh. Really?
And then when they start giving out these promises of the money, people get
True. Yep. No such thing. Right, that's true. Nothing but trouble. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, when you start using your grandkids and putting your grandkids in these scams and saying that you got to get your gift card for five. Yeah, you need the $500 to get them out of jail or else, you know, and a lot of grandparents, you know, just panic and go do what they got to do. But actually, my wife would tell them, she said, told all the grandkids, don't get in trouble. If you get in trouble, don't call me. So they know. So if they ever did call her, they'd just be in trouble. They would, you know, don't call her. She meant it, too. They probably would. Yeah, I've only had to rescue one so far, so thankfully for that. Yeah, but we do have to be careful. And the older we get, and you know, sometimes you get frightened right quick, and then that's how you get to be a victim.
Also, if you get a phone call and they ask you what your name is, or if you're so and so, don't say yes.
Mm-hmm.
Never say yes, because they'll use that yes on another scam you don't even know of.
Yeah, I see what you mean. You're right, they record that. Yes, yeah, that's so many. They got so many tricks out there. It's almost don't even answer the phone sometimes. But I don't if I don't recognize the number. You know, yeah. But I do get a lot of emails. Hey, Jason, got a nice long one from Jason. I gotta get back with you on that one. No, yeah, this time. Okay. Okay, well, where are we? Scams. Okay. If we are not cautious, not only can we be deceived by others, we can actually deceive ourselves. How? One way is by having too good an opinion of ourselves. According to Galatians 6:3, it says, "For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself." Another way is by thinking we can be religious without trying to control what we say. As James 1:26 says, "If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain." Right? Now let us recapitulate. If we do not want to be deceived, let us be careful how we hear, what we hear, and let us be careful about what we say. It's true. Always have to be on guard. People are watching. Any questions so far? Okay. Number 5, that we be not too secure in our own estimation of our spiritual status. New Testament writers often use examples from the Old Testament to teach a lesson. After all, is that not one of its purposes? It's true. Romans 15:5 says, "For whatsoever things were written beforehand were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope." Things that were written before were written for our learning. All right. 1 Corinthians 10. Paul mentioned a number of sins of the Israelites, such as idolatry, fornication, murmuring, and tempting the Lord. And then he added, "Now all these things happen unto them for what?" Yeah, okay. I guess that's it. "And they are written for our," all right, "abomination, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall." In other words, let's don't think too much of ourselves. Let's try to be thankful and prayerful. I like the way they listed those qualities. Right. All right. So we never stop learning. You learn until you leave here. All right. Any questions on that? Hmm? Yeah. For 40 years, yeah, murmuring. That's a good point. That murmuring, would you consider that almost the same as gossip? Pretty. Okay. True. So that, yeah. Good point, murmuring. So let's keep that in mind. Mm-hmm. And thinking they would be better off back where they were, where they came from. True. That's true. So we got to be careful. They were chasing them, right? Yeah. They've seen it all, you know. Mm-hmm. It came out of the ears, didn't it? I think I read that. Yeah, true. They just were not a satisfied people. I don't know. They had a lot of problems. Now, it was about, how many was it? 3 million that Moses was trying to lead? I think I saw that number. Jason, was it 3 million roughly? All right. Yeah, I thought so. And can you imagine trying to be lead that many people when we have trouble leading 50, you know? True. So that was a nation on the move. That's really what it was, right? So, well, anyway, they got it done, and I'm thankful that he was successful, although he didn't get to go in himself. All right, we'll finish this up on page 14. This scripture was not written to destroy confidence, but to warn of being overconfident. All of us remember Peter's bold assertion that he would never deny his Lord, even if all the others did, and even if he must die for his Lord. We all remember that, how Peter told the Lord he would die for him if necessary. But when dying time came, Peter just wasn't ready, was he? A lot of people, when it comes to standing up for the Lord, proving that the church and the Lord is correct, some people just not ready. All right, that was Peter's downfall there. But later he denied himself 3 times and cursed and swore. In living the Christian life from day to day, we find 2 words in 2 Corinthians 13:5 that we should apply continuously. Namely, examine yourselves. True. Without those 2 words in frequent application, we can never properly evaluate our standing before God. Evaluate. However, despite these words of warning, many keep telling themselves that they are all right, but they are headed for a fall. Even the great Apostle Paul readily admitted that being a Christian involved a constant self-examination, and Paul was one who did that many, many times. He said, "But I keep under my body, and bring it into subjection, right? Lest by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." And that's a good point. 1 Corinthians 9:27, "Be bold for the Lord, stand up for his cause, have great faith in the Lord, and manifest courage. But do not forget that you are a human being with tendencies to weaken under strain. Take heed." That was a very good lesson there. Take heed, name of it. So that's what we got to do. Don't think we don't get too good. That's when you're going to fall, when you think you got it made. All right. Oh, yeah, yeah. We hear that a lot. You know, that comes up a lot in a lot of the lessons, that one saved, always saved idea. Because we know, it tells you got to live a Christian life. And it said just become a Christian and that's it, you got it made. Right. All right, so that's what we're going to do, everybody. Thanks for the class. I guess next week your regular teacher will be back, Mr. Long. So thanks for everyone. All right.
If you would, turn to the book of page 885. 885, that will be our song of prayer this evening. After Mark passed, please turn to page 506. 560. See verses 1 to 3.
Just so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to say that Jesus.
see it tonight. I'd like to welcome everyone that's tuned in to the conference call. It's a great honor to speak here tonight. Tonight I want to speak about what's expected of us. A lot of time, that's gone into teaching every one of us as to what constitutes good behavior. From the time we're very young, we're told to be good. And then our parents and teachers, and if necessary, the judge is for admonishing practice until we find out what good is. Now, by the time most of us reach our teen years, we know how to behave in any situation that we're likely to be put in. And then the truth of the matter is that it's pretty uncomfortable if we're put in a situation where we don't know what's expected of us. And as you grow up, if you've ever been assigned a job, but you don't know what you're supposed to do, don't drive your head. Because the way you're going to get paid for doing something, but if you don't know what to get paid for, what you do. I had a job like that one time, and basically had a right on. That's pretty bad, isn't it? And it's really, really difficult when you're in that position to know how you get along with other people and
what's to be done for you. We want to fit in. That's pretty natural of most of us, no matter what our age is. We want to fit in, and we know that there's a cost to not meeting other people's expectations. Our parents expect us to do pretty good in school, at least to the best of our ability, so that the day will come that we'll be able to sustain ourselves. We know that if we don't fit in very well, we'll lose people's affection, parents, loved ones, people of a congregation. You know, if suddenly a person maybe they're tipping it, something's happened to them, don't know what it is, could eventually even wind up being incarcerated if we don't fit in. So it's always on our minds. And that's why I really never like to see parents threaten a child with, if you don't behave, you're going to jail. But you know, people will do things like that. Or teachers maybe threatening the kids when they have no right to do that. Or parents being abusive. That's not how we make people fit in. We want people to be willing to learn. And we have to set the right environment so they feel like learning is something that they want to do. We spend a lot of the time and effort teaching, and we also spend a lot of time worrying, don't we? And we're going to be asking, are we okay? Or are we a misfit? I know there's been times in my life I wondered if I was okay. Many occasions when I was growing up, I wondered if I was a misfit because of the way other people behaved around me. And as I grew older, I started realizing, no, they were the misfits. Or at least I thought they were. So that meant either I was very erroneous in my thinking, or their expectations and my expectations were different. Could have been a combination. And you may feel the same way or have at one time or another. We worry about what other humans think of us. There's no doubt about it. But in the end, most of us turn out all right. Some a little eccentric, a little neurotic. But most of us can earn a living, and we can meet our expectations, be good citizens in the country, good members of the family, good members of the congregation. We can do these things. But can't we say the same thing about God's expectations and how we meet them? You know, the scriptures tell us that He's shown us what's good. I'm not sure that we always realize it, but the scriptures do show us what God expects out of us. He tells us from the beginning what He wants us to do. He tells us what's required of us. And it's summed up very good. To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with Him. That's not much, is it? Micah 6:8 is where you'll read that. The direct quotation is, "He hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of thee, but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God." Micah 6:8. You know, it's good. You look at this time of the year, the people coming back from holidays and bad weather, but it's good to look out upon the congregation on this Wednesday evening and see so many of you studying the Word and to see what's good in God's sight. It's also disappointing to see so many who seem to be unconcerned about what God wants them to do. Just floating along, waiting for Him to talk to them out of the blue, tell them what to do. He's not going to do that. Each of us needs to look into our individual soul to see if we are just, if we're merciful and humble in our walk with God. If we love our neighbor as much as we love ourselves, we're probably just. I won't say we are just because we may not love ourselves too much. And we should think well of ourselves. We should examine ourselves and know that we're approved of God and think well of ourselves. We should also think well of our neighbors. Not to be judging them so much as to the righteousness, but to love them as much as we love ourselves. And if we value those of our household and our community and our nation and the world, we're probably merciful. But again, it's conditional, probably. Because many of us think that we're merciful, but if we look closely, we're not. We're merciful to some and unmerciful to others. Depend upon some ideology or color or something that's just a little bit different in them. We have to practice mercy without over-exercising our judgment. And if we have the Spirit of Christ, we're walking humbly with God. There's no condition to that because Christ always walked humbly with God. He was obedient to His Father. He was a person with a servant's attitude, not a superiority complex. So in conclusion, you know, God has shown us what is good. And if you know what God requires of you, and you've been baptized into the Lord, are you just, are you merciful and humble? If not, then you need to repent and become the person that God wants you to be. And if you've not learned God's good news, we are here to assist you in studying the Word so that you can learn what God would require you to do. If you know what's expected, but you haven't been baptized in Christ, now is a good time to begin walking humbly with your God. No matter what your circumstance is, it's always a good time to walk humbly with God. Look at your soul, look at your needs, and act accordingly as we stand and sing this song of invitation.
Let us be voice of Jesus saying, come unto me,
Jesus, Christ, and God.